President Barack Obama wrapping up his address to a joint session of Congress, his address proposing a new jobs bill that would both extend and deepen payroll tax cuts, both for employers and for employees, but also assist the unemployed by extending unemployment benefits, and it would commit money to infrastructure projects, to preventing the layoffs of more than a quarter million teachers, and also modernizing many schools. It does other things beyond that. Mara Liasson, an NPR's national political correspondent, joins me in the studio. A very an energetic speech.
Energetic speech. I thought Obama was on fire. I mean, it wasn't cerebral or professorial, the kinds of things people usually say about him. It was Truman-esque. He laid out his proposal. He had a refrain. You should pass this jobs plan right away. This will work. It's bipartisan. You should pass it right away.
Pass this jobs
plan. And it's a bill. The Republicans have been clamoring for him to send up a specific bill. He's sending it up. He said in 10 days he's going to send up a specific plan for how to pay for this. They've been asking for that, too. The Democrats have been clamoring for over a year for him to have a jobs bill, and this is a jobs bill. Now, whether it's too late to help the economy or President Obama, I don't know.
There are a couple of political audiences here for the speech. Number one, Republicans. Can they be encouraged or pushed into cooperating with the president and passing something? Can he appeal to their sense of the pragmatic and the political? And also Democrats, who've been demanding a big plan, an energetic speech, some more signs of leadership, in their view. There's two pretty tough missions to accomplish at the same time.
Oh, really tough. Don't forget independence, who he also needs to get back. They want to focus on jobs, but they also want to cut the deficit. They like to see him compromising, but they also want to see him effective and successful. So he has a lot of constituencies to satisfy. It's almost impossible to imagine him satisfying all of them. For the Democrats, they wanted something big. This is almost $450 billion. It's about half the original stimulus plan. That was about
$900 billion or so.
I think this should meet their criteria.
Big enough, you say.
Big enough. It's not a huge public works program, but it is big enough. So they should like that. I think they should like his feisty fighting spirit, his kind of fighting Democrat spirit in this. He says that he's going to go out every day. He's going to take this message to every corner of the country. He's going to ask people to support him. If he really does go on a barn-burning campaign for this across the country, I think Democrats will be happy as far as
as for Republicans, who are the majority in the House and have more than 40 seats in the Senate, they would be most interested, presumably, in the payroll tax cut.
The employer part of it. They will only take the employee part of it if there is an employer part of it, which there is now. You know, he's added that.
Second, I should think, in their rankings would be the extension of unemployment benefits, which has been a tough sell.
They don't like that. They are interested in the Georgia program, however, which he is proposing, this kind of apprenticeship program
where you work off your benefits.
Well, yes, you get paid with your benefits, so the employer doesn't have to spend any money. It's like it's a program in Georgia. They like that. They are open to infrastructure programs. I don't think they're open to the bank. As Eric Cantor said this morning, it's like Fannie and Freddie for roads and bridges. But I do think that this is what Democrats have been asking him to do. One of the things that they begged him not to do was design a plan that was designed to get Republican votes. And this is not. This is a real kind of wish list of what he thinks would help the economy, not just what he thinks can pass a Republican Congress, and nothing can pass a Republican Congress. I just want to say, make one other point. I think the first threshold audience for this plan are economists. They're going to get reviews from economists that will say if this thing was enacted, it would do X in terms of the unemployment rate and GDP growth.
And I've already heard some ballpark estimates of it doing perhaps 1.5 to 2 million jobs and perhaps getting the unemployment rate down towards 8 rather than above 9 where it is right now. I'm Robert Siegel from NPR News. Joining me is NPR's Mara Liasson in our studio. And joining us from the White House right now is Scott Horsley, and from Capitol Hill, Andrea Seabrook. First, Scott, how would you describe what the White House saw as the point of all this tonight, the mission of this speech?
Well, just to say, Robert, you're talking about those estimates that are coming from private economists about how many jobs this plan might create. And the White House has been very careful to leave it to those private economists to come up with any forecast. They They got burned very badly when they issued their own forecast about what the original stimulus plan would do, because, of course, the recession turned out to be much deeper, and as a result, unemployment higher than they said would happen, and they are haunted by that memory. So they've been very, very careful not to put a jobs target on this plan. But you're right. They've put the plan out there now, and you heard the president say at the end of the speech he's going to take this to every corner of the country. That starts tomorrow when he'll be campaigning in Richmond, Virginia for this plan. He's going to be in Ohio next week, early next week, a couple of important swing states. Mm-hmm. But he also says, you know, the next election is 14 months away, and a lot of Americans don't want to wait that long.
Andrea Seabrook on Capitol Hill, of course, the most important audience for this speech, apart from the American people tuning in on television and radio, were the members of the House and especially Republican members of the House. Were they
Absolutely.
Standing up? Were they applauding? Were they enthusiastic?
They were, most of the Democrats were very enthusiastic. A lot of the more progressive Democrats who have been, have found his past speeches generally a little lackluster, a little professorial, as Mara was saying, were jumping out of their seats and saying, yay, and really, you know, they looked like this was just a speech that they could really get behind, a strong, strong speech. And evidence of that at the same time was the fact that Republicans on the other side of the aisle in the House chamber sat through most of the speech. There were a few times when the entire chamber, everyone applauded President Obama, but the Republicans mainly sat in their seats and, if anything, lightly clapped for a few programs. Now, there were times when they jumped up talking about getting people back to work and especially about reforming Medicare for the future. They have a real drive for reforming Medicare. And so, you know, yeah, that constituency of the United States Congress, the United States Senate, is perhaps the most important one listening to the speech tonight.
Let me ask you this, Andrea. If the message of the president to the Republicans in Congress is, here's my jobs bill, pass it. But if implicit in that or explicit in that is, if you have another, if you have a better idea for a bill, present it. How would you create more jobs and bring down the unemployment rate? Is it evident to Republican leaders in the House, do they share the conviction that now must be the time for a big jobs bill, period?
Absolutely. I mean, they have been talking about jobs plans since Republicans took over the majority in the House of Representatives. The question is, what is the jobs plan? I think the president has put forward this plan, and they will be Republicans in the House will be reluctant to pass it as is unless they get their stamp on it. But I have heard from top leadership of the Republican Party that there is overlap in what they would like to do and what President Obama would like to do. So I think that in part everyone in the United States Congress wants to do something for jobs. The Congress has spent so long now talking about deficits and about a crisis of the budget, while Americans have been desperately seeking work, and there has been a real disconnect in those two things. So everyone is going to be talking about jobs from here out.
That's NPR's Andrea Seabrook at the Capitol. Scott Horsley at the White House.
And you know, Robert, it was interesting. The president really did engage with the Republican job strategy, which has been largely to do away with what they call job-killing regulations. And we haven't necessarily heard the president engage in that argument very strongly before tonight. In fact, he's been doing his part to eliminate regulations. Just last week, he disappointed a lot of his own supporters when he put on hold that smog regulation that was pending at the EPA.
The ozone standards.
That's right.
Coming out.
But tonight he said, look, we shouldn't have to choose between jobs and basic protection. So, yes, I'm happy to do away with sort of needless red tape. But I'm not going to go for a wholesale cut in government regulations.
One measure of how vigorously and energetically this speech was delivered was how long it took him to give it, Mara Liasson. The White House assumed it would take about 45 minutes. I think it took him under 40, but 37 minutes or something like
that.
He was reading it at a pace.
Yes, it really was at a pace, and I think that helped. I mean, it made it seem more urgent, and that was the impression he wanted to convey. I thought you were asking me how long it took him to get around to giving it?
That's another question.
That also really struck me. I mean, whoa, I thought this could have been given 6 months ago.
This
and
is
it really
the speech Democrats
him.
Wanted
yes,
to hear from
yes.
him.
Yes, and also you could say that as the economy was deteriorating and as he was busy dealing with the Republican agenda of deficits, why couldn't he have given this? Why couldn't he have given this right after the health care bill passed, for instance? In other words, he was going to do a hard pivot to jobs, as they say, about 15 times. And it never quite happened. This seems like the hardest pivot I've seen, mm-hmm. although it is awfully late in the game.
But let's, Mara and Scott as well at the White House, let's put this into the schedule for this fall that we're about to see. The president has proposed a jobs bill and said, pass this bill. A week from Monday, he will propose the way in which it's
right, pay-fors.
The pay-fors, which will add up to $457 billion, some mix of spending and now we say revenue enhancements, so tax increases of one sort or another.
Well, and actually much more than that, because he's also got to have the $1.5 trillion that was called for going in. This is an extra
on top of the $1.5 trillion.
Right, that's right.
So $2 trillion.
So something on the order of the grand bargain that he was talking about with John Boehner.
Then we will have the super committee that met for the first time today, the six Democrats and six Republicans from the Congress, who will propose some alternative to massive cuts and an expiration of the Bush tax cuts. And they're due by when? Thanksgiving, is it?
The recommendations by Thanksgiving, and then a vote in an up or down vote in Congress just before Christmas.
And now the president is saying, don't just find $1.5,
find
$2 trillion to cover this. So he's going to tell them exactly how to find $2 trillion. Although I don't know, this morning Eric Cantor kind of threw cold water on the idea that the super committee would come up with a grand bargain, something that would do tax reform and entitlement reform in addition to merely finding $2 trillion to cut. It's hard to find $2 trillion to cut. That's why you go to tax reform and to entitlement reform. The bigger you make the project, the easier you can get to your goal. But they are going to have to come up with that.
But this is a very ambitious agenda for the administration in Congress. To try to get through between now and Christmas. I mean, we're going to see all the basic questions about the economy, Scott, so far as I can tell.
Well, that's right.
All
but
have
not,
to be addressed.
They're not starting from scratch. I mean, a lot of this legwork was done early in the summer in hopes of getting that grand bargain that fell apart around the negotiations for the debt ceiling. So we know what the basic building blocks, whether it's cuts or entitlement reforms or tax reform, that ground has been plowed many times mm-hmm. before. So they really just have to get the political will to move forward with it.
And that's what's missing. I mean, also, it is complicated and hard to do tax reform or to, you know, especially tax reform and to do entitlement reform, especially Medicare. However, they don't have to do tax reform and entitlement reform before the next election, but they do have to come up with $1.5 trillion in cuts or face these triggers. And that's the big question. Will is the alternative, which is the automatic sequestration, the across-the-board cuts, unpleasant enough to this committee and to Congress to force them to come up with cuts of their own?
But if the cuts include cutting what are now called tax expenditures or closing tax loopholes, that takes legislation. You can't expect in a week that you're going to redefine the home mortgage interest deduction, for example.
No. That's why I think they're not going to do comprehensive tax reform. They might make a little stab at it. And don't forget, there is an expedited process mm-hmm. in place for how you consider the super committee's recommendations. It's an up or down vote. It can't be filibustered or amended.
Scott, is when the president hits the road to Richmond, Virginia, where Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, is that's where his district is, we might add, is this now campaign mode? Are we now just talking about the 2012 season beginning for him?
I think it's a campaign mode in two senses. I think he really does want Americans to do as they did during the debt ceiling debate. He wants them calling their members of Congress and texting and tweeting. He really wants to light a fire under lawmakers to do something with this American Jobs Act now. But all of those talking points serve double duty because they're also laying the groundwork for his own reelection campaign.
But Andrea Seabrook, you cover Congress. What is the going definition of now? What does now mean in Congress to say pass this bill now?
That means pass this bill by Christmas. There is nothing that happens now in Congress. That usually means in the next several months. Nothing happens that fast. And really, the idea of the Congress, as it comes from Thomas Jefferson, is that things shouldn't pass quite that quickly. There is something called regular order in the House of Representatives. There is a process in the Senate. And these, you know, the president doesn't get to pass legislation by himself for a reason. And so there is a process that must be gone through by the members here. And that is what now means, several months from now.
I think when it comes to, for example, the payroll tax cuts, that's on the employee side. They have really until the end of this year with the existing cut that's in place. So getting it done by Christmas would actually work out sort of okay. And then the larger cut could kick in the beginning of next year.
But he said in the speech, pass this bill now, and tomorrow people will get that tax cut.
Mm-hmm. So he did.
Well, that's the message that he wants to take to the country. This could be, you could have this money in your pocket now if Congress had only acted. He is setting up a do-nothing Congress kind of frame for the election debate.
Okay. Well, let's sum up in the minute that remains what the president has proposed here. He has proposed extending and deepening the payroll tax cuts, extending unemployment benefits, and also spending more money on infrastructure, which means, of course, highways and bridges, but also modernizing school buildings. We talked about that a lot. And also spending special money, Andrea, on either averting or calling back layoffs of teachers. I think they're looking at over a quarter of a million teachers who either have been or would soon be laid off to try to keep them in the classroom. He couched it in terms of keeping America competitive, and he closed off with a peroration. These are difficult years for our country, he said, but we are Americans. We are tougher than the times we live in, and we are bigger than our politics have been. This has been special live coverage of President Barack Obama's address to a joint session of Congress on jobs. I've been joined by Mara Liasson and Scott Horsley and Andrea Seabrook. I'm Robert Siegel for NPR News.